dark hills, the ways, the highways. He walks on the real roads or through glimmering lights. Helps me walk the cold.
Saying this morning, the book of Romans chapter 8, we'll begin reading with verse 8 if we might. Name of the Lord. I'm going to wait a moment so that all can be back in the sanctuary putting up their instruments. Takes a moment, and I'm delighted to spend a moment waiting. You know, we serve a big God, don't we? I don't know what he's going to do this morning or tonight or in the next days, but I'm waiting for a Holy Ghost revival. Something's happening in this nation, I'm here to tell you. Something's happening. We've been praying with all of our heart concerning the election, and things are turning in the right direction. I'm not going to tell you they're perfect. They're not perfect. They won't be perfect. This world will never be perfect, friend. All things perfect is that Bible and God and the Father and the Son, the Holy Ghost, and you and I who are sanctified real good and live a good life. We're not perfect in the sense of God, but perfect in the sense of mature. Perfect in the sense of maturity. Hallelujah. So Romans 8, verse 8. I'm preaching an unusual title this morning. Will you listen carefully if I tell you? I'm going to preach this morning on the Holy Ghost is not a bus. The Holy Ghost is not a B-U-S, a bus. And I want you to listen. That's a strange title. But it's a title that I think will open up your understanding to a marvelous subject. Let's read together Romans 8:8. Romans 8:8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, or Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Can I read that again? Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of him. And if Christ be in you by the Holy Ghost, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit, that's a capital S, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, if the Spirit that resurrected Jesus Christ from the grave, from the dead, if that same Holy Spirit dwell in you, giving you life, giving you anointing, giving you his presence, that Spirit shall also quicken your mortal body. Quicken, make alive your mortal body. Oh, I love that. Quicken, make alive your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So I'm preaching, the Holy Ghost is not a bus. Will you be seated and pray with me? Father, we are waiting on you this morning that by the Holy Ghost you will do something extraordinary in this house. By the Holy Ghost, that you'll take this simple message and somehow inspire it to the hearts of every person in this building, that we may understand, that we may understand that this great truth is of imperative importance. This great truth is of major importance. And I pray that you will help me to so preach it that nobody will ever forget it. The Holy Ghost is a person. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of the Heavenly Father and the Spirit of his Son, Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost is the every expression that God ever makes toward men in redemption and in salvation. God makes it by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is that member of the Godhead that does all the beckonings of the Father and all the beckonings of the Son and makes everything that heaven is real in the human heart. Everything of redemption, everything of cleansing, everything of power, everything of gifts, everything of talents, everything of abilities in the business of the kingdom, it is by the Holy Ghost that such is wrought. It is by the Holy Ghost that such is wrought. And I want you to hear that very, very carefully. Now, I know the title I'm using sounds a little bit radical. And I'm glad it does, because I want to make a radical approach. I want to make a radical impact. I want to stir up people in a manner that I think is imperative in this day, as we watch for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the first thing I want to talk about is this. The only person of the rapture power and of the power to rapture a believer, the only person that makes the rapture a possibility, the only person that gives supernatural power to the rapture, to resurrect the dead, and to rapture the living, is the person of the Holy Ghost. The only person in the great mind of God that can help us when that trumpet sounds and can manifest such power in you as to completely transform your body. A totally new body in the twinkling of an eye, in the snap of a finger, in the blinking of an eye. The only power that can transform you and make a new creature out of you and then empower you to leave the gravity of this earth, to defy gravity, in other words. I mean, to completely disappear up into the horizon and arrive at the eternal presence of God the Father and God the Son. The only power that can do that is the power of the Holy Ghost. The only power that can do that is the power of the Holy Ghost. What I'm trying to say, what I will say over and over, is the Holy Ghost is not a bus running around over the world rushing to find everybody that maybe thinks they deserve to go in the rapture and trying to get them all together ready to go. No, the Holy Ghost is a person that dwells in the believer, that lives in the believer, that radically transforms the believer, that sanctifies the believer, that makes a new person out of the believer, that brings the new birth into motion and action. The only person that can take you and manifest in you the power of a rapture and a resurrection is the power of the Holy Ghost. And it doesn't come upon you from outside when the rapture takes place and the trumpet sounds. It's either on the inside working or you don't get raptured. It's either on the inside working or you don't get raptured. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, reigning and ruling upon your heart and manifesting His glorious presence and power, when that rapture occurs and that trumpet sounds, you aren't going nowhere. You aren't going nowhere. What will resurrect you is what's inside, not what's outside. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, if I don't say anything else this morning and I get that in your head, you can leave here knowing that if you get raptured, it's going to be because who has control of your life and who is ruling you from the heart out and not from exterior in. People go to church and feel a little chill and have a little shout and do a little jig sometimes and they don't live it. They don't know anything about the transforming power of Jesus Christ. And they're going to know the difference when that rapture sounds. Because the Holy Ghost doesn't come upon you from without to resurrect you and to rapture you and to transform you. The Holy Ghost works from within to rapture you and to transfer you and to take you out of here. Does everybody understand that? Am I making myself well understood this morning? I really believe this is a problem with the church world. They live like they please. They do anything they want to. They walk like they please. They don't have care about the house of God. They don't have care about paying their tithes. They don't have care about the things of a godly life. They've forsaken the world, forsaken Christ for the world, and still believe they're ready to go in the rapture. Many people who used to be full of the Holy Ghost, who haven't had a visitation of the Holy Ghost in years, and they'll tell you, "I'm ready for the rapture." Let me tell you who's ready for the rapture. Those who've got a burning visitation and moving and saturation of the Holy Ghost right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If God's Holy Ghost is in you at this moment in salvation and sanctification and Holy Ghost baptism, I'm here to tell you, when that rapture sounds, you're going to be out of here. Now, are you understanding what I'm preaching this morning? How many can say, "Praise the Lord"? Praise the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I'm glad that good, sweet Holy Ghost is within right now. You can't even be saved without Him. Do you understand? And if you're saved so good that He's working in you to minister to you and to sanctify you and to baptize you, you may not already be at the goal of baptism, or you may not already be at the complete goal of sanctification, but you're committed. You're surrendered. And the Holy Ghost is working. And the Holy Ghost is moving, and He has the mastery, then you're going to go when that trumpet sounds. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I love a great truth like that. Now, let's say this, and I want you to understand, you cannot quicken yourself. Have you ever longed for a move of God, and you did everything you knew to do to quicken yourself and to have a move, and finally you just gave up and fell on the altar and fell across the floor, or fell in a place of surrender, or at least got your heart totally ready to please God? And as you found that place of pleasing God and surrendering to God, the sweet Spirit of God began to move upon you. That power that moves upon you in your consecration is the same power that's going to resurrect you when that trumpet sounds. That same power that's working beautiful things in your life and changing you from the bottom up, from the inside out. That same Holy Ghost, hallelujah, is going to magnify and move mightily and quicken your mortal body and raise you up to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen to me. It is so wonderful, not some impersonal power. See, here's the problem that I see in the church world. The Holy Ghost is like an impersonal something. I don't know how to say it. It's like an impersonal force, an impersonal being that people have never felt and never known and never experienced, and yet they will determine to tell you that they're ready to go in the rapture and that they're going to go. There is a multitude out there that know nothing of the visitation of God. They haven't prayed in literal months until they knew they had touched heaven. There's no work of the Spirit in their life. They long ago gave up the wonderful baptism with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And they're just not obeying God. And yet they'll tell you, but I'm saved. I've been saved all the way back for so long, and I'm going to go. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is not an impersonal being that comes to find you on resurrection morning. The Holy Ghost is not some strange force out there moving over the universe that's going to come looking for you when it's time to go, friend. If he don't rise from within, if he don't manifest from inside, if there's not a moving of the Holy Ghost within you, hallelujah, hallelujah, then there cannot be a resurrection. Listen again. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead, do you understand who Jesus was, don't you? How many know he was divine? He was the eternal Son of God. How many knew that he absolutely was God's perfect eternal Son, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the everlasting? Oh, he was the light of the world. He was the salt of the earth. He was the blessed Savior. You can use many names about him, but I'm going to tell you something. When he was laying in that tomb, it wasn't his power that resurrected him. It was the Holy Ghost power that resurrected him. My Bible says, and I just read it to you, the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead. Now, isn't it exciting to know that the Holy Ghost to be a perfect example unto us, so that there was no misunderstanding and no misinterpretation, and that nobody could get some idea that was not real, that he himself laying in that tomb, though his spirit had gone into the heart of the earth and preached to the spirits in prison, that body lay in that grave until the Holy Ghost came upon it and resurrected it and brought it up out of the dead. And by the Holy Ghost, he come walking out of that tomb alive for that evermore. And you got to give the credit to the Holy Ghost. The Bible says he was raised by the Holy Ghost. And if he was raised by the Holy Ghost, how in the world do you expect to be raised but by the Holy Ghost? How many of you will raise your hand and say, I'm surrendering to the Holy Ghost right now to do a deeper work in me than ever I have known? Because the moment that trumpet sounds, there's got to be a movement on the inside of me. There's got to be a springing forth of that same Spirit that possesses me. There's got to be a moving in my bosom, in my being. Something's got to take over. Oh, you see, when the rapture takes place, all the Father's got to say, Holy Ghost, come home. And everybody that belongs to him will be right there with him as he goes home. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Now see, this, if we could get this world to understand what I'm preaching to you this morning, we'd see some transformation. Brother Terry, there's a multitude out there that claims all kind of religion, that claims all kinds of salvation. There's a multitude that say they were saved. Did you know people nowadays in which we live who were saved, they saved when they were little children, and now they're homosexuals and lesbians and live in a homosexual and lesbian life, and people are telling them if they was ever saved, they're still saved, even though they're living a homosexual life and a lesbian life, that they're still saved, and thereby they're telling them that when the rapture takes place, you will go up with him into the sky, and they haven't known anything about Christ in maybe all their life, and if they ever were saved, the grace of it is long gone, and now they're in a sad state of sin, and to think that they could go up in the rapture is insanity. Somebody help me understand. Am I right or wrong? Raise your hand if I'm right. Raise your hand if you know Brother Chambers is preaching the truth to you. I'm here to tell you, there won't be no sin in that rapture, because the Holy Ghost will not dwell in an unclean vessel. My Bible says your vessel is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which is not your own. It is bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The Bible said he will not dwell in an unclean vessel. And how in the world can he come like a bus and pick up a bunch of unclean vessels all over the world and rapture them into the sky? It makes no sense. This was literally the theme that God poured on me to preach in Oklahoma. And I preached it with all my heart. I pulled a marlin on them Thursday night. You know what a marlin is? I preached an hour and a half. Hallelujah. He'd never heard that one before. Oh, hallelujah. But it was so powerful. And that place was so moved. And we had so many people visiting from Assemblies of God and different places. And I'm here to tell you, they piled in those altars. One lady was wonderfully saved. There was a backslider and prayed all the way back to the Holy Ghost baptism. A dear preacher man was wonderfully healed. And it was just a mighty visitation of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Listen to me, church. I'm here to tell you something. If ever there's been a need of people understanding who the Holy Ghost is and what the Holy Ghost does and what the Holy Ghost does not do, he does not operate in unclean vessels. He does not resurrect or rapture unclean vessels. He is not involved in nothing unclean. He will not touch it if it's unclean. He will only visit that which is holy and that which is righteous. That which is pure. Now listen to me. I got to read this to you. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. The body is dead. If you're living full of the Holy Ghost and you even get close to sin, you'll tremble all over your body. If you're full of the Holy Ghost and the devil starts whispering stuff in your mind that has the element of sin, you will start resisting and you'll start fighting back. And it's not always an easy battle. Sometimes you can be so worn out and you've worked hard and you've labored intently and you've got to a tired place. And that's when the devil looks and jumps right on your back and goes to work with some of his silly stuff. And you almost feel empowered. Unempowered to do anything about it. And that's when you raise both hands up to heaven and call on him who dwells in your vessel, and call on him who's inhabited you, who's come to live in you, hallelujah, his power in you. He is the source of your victory, and there is no other source. Oh, we got to hear that. There is no source of victory in the Christian life but the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. There is no other source. If you don't allow him to work his will and work the rights that he has determined are his, then they cannot be wrought by no other power. Go with me back, if you would, to St. John 16. One of our men dropped on that Sunday night 2 weeks ago and did a wonderful job. I want us to go back there for a moment. You see, the Holy Ghost came to do a host of things in your life. In fact, he came to represent everything Jesus is. If you can imagine the breadth of who Jesus is and the breadth of who the Father is, then you can understand the breadth of what the Holy Ghost came to represent. He came to represent all the Father and the Son is. In St. John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. It is expedient. Listen to me. God, Son, said, it's expedient to you that the Holy Ghost would come. It's expedient to you that the Holy Ghost will come. And when he has come, he will absolutely do the work of heaven. If I depart, I will send him unto you. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. Hallelujah. I just said it a while ago, but I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost will keep you pure. You listen to the Holy Ghost and you quench not the Holy Spirit and you despise not what he does. And the Bible tells you not to quench him, not to despise him, not to resist him, and not to blaspheme him. Four things you're told not to do to the Holy Ghost. Don't grieve him, don't quench him, don't resist him, and don't blaspheme him. Can you remember those with me? Don't grieve him. Say that, would you? Don't grieve him, and then don't resist him, and then don't quench him. Now, all of those are very important. How do you quench the Holy Ghost? You feel like shouting and you sit there like a dummy on a pew. That's how you quench him. You feel like raising your hands and praising God, but somebody might see you. Well, what difference does it make if somebody sees you? Maybe they'll get inspired by your forthrightness, by your devotion. Hallelujah. So if you feel the move of the Holy Ghost, you obey it. If you're at home or you're about your job and you're close to something that's wrong and the Holy Ghost begins to move on you to back off, to back away, to move back, to change atmospheres, you better obey. If you don't, you quench the Holy Ghost. He's trying to guide you. The Holy Ghost is absolutely just exactly what a guide is supposed to be. He guides you. He walks with you. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. How many people in Pentecost today know anything about walking in the will of the Holy Ghost and walking in the direction of the Holy Ghost? Those are the people that's going to be raptured. I'm here to tell you, are those in whose life he has become the master. I'm not the master of Joe Chambers. I am pitifully helpless, and I feel it more and more every day. But he's the master, and he comes in his power. When I left for Oklahoma, I was already tired, and I thought, can I preach three nights in a row? And I wasn't even sure I could. And it just got better and longer every night I preached. Hallelujah. And I can tell you, I never felt an ounce of weakness while I was preaching. Not an ounce. Not an ounce. Why? Because there's a master who walks with us. Who walks with us. An anointing. How many know what that anointing is? How many of you can really... Don't raise your hand on this one. I don't want to embarrass nobody. But how many of you have come to the place in your devotion that you sense this anointed one that's guiding you and helping you and enabling you? Hallelujah. That trio got anointed this morning. Did you notice that? Hallelujah. That sister Vette got anointed this morning. Did it make a difference in this service? If all of you would get anointed, it turned this place upside down. That's what's wrong with this church. We don't have enough anointed people. We've got too many people that are pew warmers, and you aren't anointed. Would you pray till the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you? Don't take a chance on this great rapture. Don't take a chance of being ready. You pray and seek God until you're so full of the Holy Ghost that you can't stand. Stay still. Woo! Somebody shout hallelujah. I'm talking about this wonderful work of the Holy Ghost. He will convict you of sin. He will convict you of sin. And then he will convict you of righteousness. Did you know that there are many things about a godly life that aren't even written in the Bible? The Bible is a wonderful book. But your personal life has responsibilities and duties and transformations that God needs to work in you that the Bible doesn't even... The Bible says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He isn't talking about looking at the Bible and deciding whether you're going to obey it or not. That's the bottom line. That's already been taken care of. You will obey the Bible if you serve God. But beyond the Bible, there's the will of God for you. There's talents for you. There's gifts for you. There's responsibilities upon you. There's duties that God has for your life. And those come to you only by being yielded to the righteousness which the Holy Ghost reveals to you. If all your pastor did was obeyed the strict laws of the Bible, I would be nothing less than a Pharisee. I would be nothing less than a legalist. And I would be of very little value to the kingdom of God. The righteousness he is talking about is a righteousness superior to all that is in the Bible, because it's God's personal will working in you. How many of you want to be yielded to that perfect revelation of the righteousness which is of God, that your own personal life will be guided in a godly and a pure fashion, that you will live as the Spirit directs you, that as a godly man, you'll walk in the fear of the Holy Ghost, you'll walk in the light. The Bible says, let the light shine upon your pathway. Oh, yes, let the light shine on your pathway. As you walk in the light of the Scripture and in the light of the will of God, you'll become richer and sweeter and deeper every day. And so he said the Holy Ghost come to lead you in righteousness. Then he said he came to lead you in judgment. Now there's two kinds of judgment. There's sometimes when you've got a neighbor, and that neighbor is so wicked that God says to you, stay out of their house. Don't go there and hang around. You say, Brother Chambers, that wouldn't be very Christian. Oh, yes, it would. As long as you treat them kind, you were nice when they showed up at your place, you never treated them ugly, but you refuse to get in an intimate relationship with somebody whose life is questionable. You just don't do that. The Bible tells you not to do that. I'm not talking about being unkind to nobody. I believe you treat everybody kind. My Bible says we are to be gentle to all men. A-L-L. All men. There's nobody you treat bad. If you treat them bad, you're wrong. But you don't hang around. If you have sodomites that live in the next door to your house, you don't let your sons and your daughters go over there. If you let your sons and daughters go into a house of sodomy, you're as guilty as they are over that house. You don't do that. See, those are judgments that God by the Holy Ghost has given us to make. But there's another area of judgment, and that's a judgment yourself upon your daily walk and everything about your life. And see, the Holy Ghost is so much bigger than just somebody who makes somebody speak in another language until it's almost insane how we reduced him so much. The Holy Ghost is the sovereign member of the divine Godhead that came into this church world to take me in his hands and to show me every step of my way and to keep me every moment and every hour. Hallelujah. That's the Holy Ghost to teach me, to guide me, to train me, to teach me, to fill me, to use. Hallelujah. Somebody raise your hand and say, praise the Lord. See, and that Holy Ghost working in you, you know what he's doing? He's getting you ready to be a bride to the bridegroom. Come on now, listen to me. I want to say that again. Every one of you, listen to me. The Holy Ghost working in you. Oh, you say, Brother Chambers, he really does convict me. He really does deal with me. He really does teach me. He's getting you ready to be a part of the bride of Jesus Christ. Brother Jackie, to think of being part of that bride that enters into New Jerusalem to dwell for eternity in the very place of such beauty and magnificence, such a paradise that words don't describe it. Oh, he's getting me ready to be part of that bride. Hallelujah. Every day of my life, I'm longing for that bridegroom. I'm longing for that bridegroom. I'm longing for that place. Hallelujah. In the presence of the Heavenly Father. Woo, hallelujah. Do you understand that the Holy Ghost is many times more important? People today, we live in a church world that about all people in churches know about the Holy Ghost is, have you spoken tongues yet? I'm not minimizing speaking in tongues. That's as real to me and hearing Sister Yvette singing a little bit in tongues. I just wanted her to keep obeying the Holy Ghost and just sing it out. I'm praying for women all over this church so full of the Holy Ghost that when God starts blessing, they'll start singing in the Holy Ghost. I'm praying for a moving of the Holy Ghost until every member of this church has the gifts of the Holy Ghost in their life. Until they go about their job witnessing and sharing and the Holy Ghost manifesting himself. I'm here to tell you that's all wonderful. But right now what I want to do is make sure you understand if you don't have a moving of the Holy Ghost in you right now, if he has not become the master of your life, if he's not in charge of you, if you don't walk in obedience, if you don't yield to him, you are in danger of missing the rapture. And I don't want nobody here to miss the rapture. You've got to have a moving of the Holy Ghost in your life. You say the baptism, well, the baptism's important. And I don't know nothing that's more important. But the Holy Ghost starts the moment you get saved. And if you never quit walking in the light of the Bible, you'll never have a point when you're not ready for the rapture. When you walk into the light of the Bible, in the light of a consecrated godly life, day by day, he's getting you ready for deeper, 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 deeper. Hallelujah. And you just keep growing, and you just keep living, and I promise you. So I'm not preaching to you that you've got to have the baptism to go in the rapture, but I'm preaching to you, if you've been saved 2 or 3 years and you've not yet received the baptism, you may not be ready because you're playing around. All you got to do is set your heart on it, set your mind on it, make up your mind, I'm going to be full of the Holy Ghost. How many believe he'll do it if you seek him? He'll do it if you seek him. Brother and sister Lloyd was there from Haiti. Their son, precious boy. What grade he's in, I don't remember, somewhere in high school. And I said to him, have you got the Holy Ghost yet? No, Brother Chambers. I said, let me tell you what you do. His mama told me the next night, he come home and told her, you're going to do it. I said, you pray 1 hour every day. You go in that room and you shut your door and you get your Bible and you say, now God, every night I'm going to spend 1 hour with you until you draw me to the place that I can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Boys, if you haven't received the baptism, saints, if you haven't received the baptism, young boys, if you haven't received the baptism, you set yourself to pray 1 hour a day alone in your room and you throw those hands in the air and don't pray like somebody half dead. Pray with all your heart. Open up your voice. Mama's listening. Who cares? If you're making noise and the neighbors are listening, all my Christian life, I prayed until the neighbors could hear me. I wasn't trying to be heard. I was just determined not to worry about it. Do you know, I remember, you're going to laugh at this. I remember when I first got saved, I'd go to the chicken house and pray. And the chickens would always make enough fuss to out-fuss me. And so I didn't have to worry about how much fuss I made. And I'd pray with all I had. I never have knew how. People tell me you pray too loud. I've never learned no other way. Your problem is you don't pray loud enough or you wouldn't be even hearing me. I'm just kidding. That may not be always true. But listen, I want to promise you something, church. There's nothing more wonderful than being holy, holy, sold out. Because that sweet Holy Ghost is fixing to come to get the bride. That Holy Ghost is fixing to move in the wings and wind and the directions of the Father and the Son and go down to get the bride. Well, he's already here to sweep around this world and in every heart he dwells to get that bride ready up in the air. Hallelujah. What a day that's going to be. I can hardly wait. I'm telling you, I can hardly wait. The wonderful things that the Holy Ghost does. Now, I want to read something that's so important. The Holy Ghost is a guarantee. How many of you knew that? The Holy Ghost is a guarantee of your readiness for the rapture. My Bible says that he has given you a foretaste. He has put his anointing upon you as a guarantee of your readiness. Hallelujah. He's your guarantee, not me. The Holy Ghost is your guarantee. Go with me, if you would. Oh, man, I didn't mean to pull a Marlin this morning. Hallelujah. Go with me and I'll close with a scripture in the book of Revelation, chapter 4. Chapter 4, Marlin, you don't mind me kidding you, do you? Huh? I don't think it bothers you. I think he's... I won't say no more. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Go to Revelation chapter 4. I want you to notice something. This is breathtaking to me. Revelation 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately, listen, I was, what? In the Spirit. In the Spirit. Listen, now go down to verse 4. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon their seats 24 elders clothed in fine and white linen, and they had on their head crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded thunders and lightning and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. You've never read in your Bible, never, it's not in it, that the Holy Ghost is described as the 7 spirits of God. Nowhere in the Bible is the Holy Ghost called the 7 spirits of God, but right there. Why is he called the 7 spirits of God there? Because it is the finished product of his work that is around that throne in the great bride of Jesus Christ. He's called the 7 spirits of God because it is by his power that every resurrected saint and every raptured saint are there. He is there. Hallelujah, to celebrate with us the moment of the beginning of the bridal supper, of the great marriage feast, of that grand and glorious day when God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost shall be present to see the Son with his bride and to hear them celebrate for 7 years. Until the end of the 7 years, there is a coronation, and that great bride crowns, that great bride crowns the Lord Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When you understand that the mighty work of the restrainer, the mighty work of the teacher, the mighty work of the comforter, the mighty work of the divine guide, the mighty work of the Spirit which the Father sent at the beckon of Jesus has now wrought his work with the bride and has brought them to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're gathered around the throne. They're getting ready for a celebration, and the Holy Spirit has to be there because it's his work and his accomplishment that brought him there. Woo, hallelujah. Are you hearing me? How many want to be there? Let me see you stand up, would you? I want to be there. I want to be there. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, church, there is nothing grander than to know the Holy Ghost is keeping me. There's nothing grander than to know the Holy Ghost has control of me. There's nothing grander than to know I'm under his influence. I'm walking in the power of his presence. Nothing more wonderful than to know I'm preaching by the anointing which the Holy Ghost has given me. Hallelujah. Everything is by the Holy Ghost, and very shortly, that Holy Ghost within. Wherever there's a person that has the Holy Ghost within, there's going to be a rapture and a resurrection and a transformation and a divine heavenly change. More power will be manifest in that resurrection rapture than in all of human time. Hallelujah. Everything about nature will be defied. We understand nature. We know that there's a law called the law of gravity. And you can jump as high as you want to jump, but you want to come back down. You can jump out of an airplane, but you better understand you're not going up, you're going down. That's gravity. But on the morning of that resurrection rapture, gravity won't lose its power. The Holy Ghost will just take dominance over gravity power. Do you understand? The Holy Ghost will take dominance over gravity power. The Holy Ghost will be greater than gravity. The pull up will be greater than the pull down. Is that okay to say it that way? The Holy Ghost over there will be greater than the power of gravity down here. And if you're full of the Holy Ghost, or you at least surrendered utterly, and he's working in your life, the work of God, and you resist him in no way, you're not laying around and being easy about your consecration, you're walking with God. That power is going to take over. And we're going to leave here. Hallelujah. It won't be slow either. Hallelujah. Once we leave, I said to some people out in Bartlesville, I said, I want to tell you goodbye. They said, why are you telling me goodbye? I said, because when the rapture takes place, there won't be no chance because I'm going to be gone. Hallelujah. Now, if they go with me, then I can say hello. I want to say hello to you, Marlon, up there. Amen. Isn't God good? Would you raise your hand and pray with me? Father, I'll preach from my heart this morning. Father, I am really concerned that this message is one of the most important that I could preach. We have a church world that is as dead as possible. We have people in our Pentecostal churches that haven't experienced a move of the Holy Ghost in years, and some never. And yet they think they're ready for a rapture, and it's not possible. The only possibility of the rapture is the Holy Ghost within and not the Holy Ghost without. Raise your hands up, will you? And just wait on him. Holy Ghost, I don't know what you choose to do, but I know I love this crowd. Holy Ghost, don't let nobody leave here and be comfortable if they don't have a moving, working of the mighty person of the Holy Ghost in their life. Don't let nobody make them so hungry for the Holy Ghost to be working in their life that they will seek you and yearn for you and hunger after you. They'll push the plate back if they need to. They'll push the whole table back if they need to until they get more and more and more and more of God working in their life. Father, we can't play no games. The rapture is upon us. It could be this morning. It could be this morning. No, I know I've preached considerably over time, and nobody worried about it, I know. But I want to tell you something, church. I want you to get ready to go. Would you slip your hand way up in the air, and would you just pray for yourself and somebody close by, and ask God to stir everybody. Ask God to stir everybody in this morning. Oh, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, always be willing and ready to let him have his way. Don't be embarrassed to speak in tongues when the Holy Ghost moves upon you. Hallelujah. Thank God Sister Yvette was embarrassed this morning. Hallelujah. God doesn't want you to do anything but yield to him. Submit to him. Let him have his way. And don't play no games. Don't be careless. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, if you even got the Holy Ghost working in you, you're not going to let anything keep you out of church. You're going to come in the name of the Lord because your heart's going to pant for it. It's going to pant for it. You're longing for the Holy Ghost to have his way. I love you, church. I love you, your folks, every one of you. There's not a feeling of dislike in my heart for one. There's nobody in this building I think more of than another except my wife. I mean, you're precious. You're precious. Let's seek him with all our heart. Let's seek him with all our heart. Brother Dylan, I want you to come down here and pray. Hallelujah.
By night, by day.
Pray with all your heart, buddy. When you get through praying, just send us home, but don't dismiss us.
Let us never be satisfied with where we're at, God. Let us always continue to seek after you, God. Let us have what you have provided for us, God.
The darkness to show me the way.
Now God walks through the storms, the rain, the sunshine. The mind.